pray. Father, we're so thankful you've kept us this week, Lord, from all the... I was just thinking as I went down the road this morning, cars flying past us and zipping back and forth, and how many years I've done that, Lord, and years in the past and now again. You always keep me, Lord. May we never stopping and thinking, Lord, and being thankful for all that you do for us, Lord. How you watch over us continuously and keep your hand upon us. Lord, how you fed us straight from the cup, Lord, for so many years. And we're so thankful for it, Lord. And pray that you'll pour out your spirit among us tonight, Lord. Bless us with your word as we give you thanks and praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see everybody tonight. And I meant to testify a little bit last time and I didn't remember it, so I'm going to try to this time. I was just thinking after I talked to Sister Rhonda and she was telling me some Brother Don had made it in safe and some of the things that had happened, and I just started thinking about when I went in the airport the other day, and I hadn't been in an airport in years, and I forgot I had to take my shoes off. I forgot I had to take my jacket off. Forgot I had to clean my pockets out. So I ended up three times going back and forth, more and more trays. I had trays on top of trays. You can't stack computers on top of each other. They're slinging the trays back. And so the whole point was they confused me. And so the last straw was pull my phone out of my pocket and put it in the tray by itself. So it's going through the line. Everything's going through the line. And I am down there, and she pulls my backpack out, and she says, is there anything in here that can stick me? And I said, no. I said, my keys are in there, I think. She pulls out, and she goes right where she's wanting to go. So she knows something's there. And I forgot I put that little knife thing in there, a little keychain knife. I don't think it's 2 inches. But she stopped me anyways, and she pulls it off, and she's pulling it out, and she wants me to go check it in a bag, and I'm like, no, it's yours. You can have it. And by this time, I'd not got the rest of my stuff. I'd gotten some of it, but then I'd forgot the phone and stuff. And so I got all my stuff back in, and I start to walk away. I got about 15 feet, and I'll go back, and my phone's gone. All these empty trays are sitting there, and my phone's gone. And I told the lady, I said, my phone is gone. And she said, well, I said, it was in a tray by itself. I said, I don't know how it could have went anywhere. I've been standing right here. And she didn't know. She acted like she really didn't care. It's the TSA agent. And so I'm looking around. She said, well, maybe it went down in the tray. She said, yeah, maybe we'll just let it go around. So I stood there and waited and waited. Nothing ever happened. And finally, it dawned on me that Katrina had told me to, I started to lay this out and put it down. And it dawned on me that I could pull this out and see where it was at because you could trace your phone. So I thought, well, I pulled it out and I started tracing it. And I went back over to the TS agent. And I said, it's not here. I said, it's walking that way. And so she acted like she still didn't care. She told the boss and the boss acted like they didn't care. And then I'm watching it, and it blinks off the map. So somebody I figured had cut it off. And I thought, well, I told her, I said, they just cut it off. I said, so I just kiss it goodbye. You know, I said, I don't have it. So I put it back in my bag and went back over there and started to walk away. And I got about halfway off, and one of the other agents that I hadn't even talked to had heard me, ran over to me. And she said, did you say you think it's stolen? And I said, well, it was in a tray by itself. And I said, now it's walking out here somewhere. And it got cut off. And I said, she said, well, we got cameras. We know if somebody, you see, neither one of them other two offered to pull the camera up. So I said, okay, well, that's fine. Call the Charlotte police. So the Charlotte police are all around there anyways. So he comes over and he watches it and he's talking to the other cops to where it's at. And it's moving and moving and walking and they can't find where it's at. So I decided, he said, hey, come on, walk with me. So I started walking with it and we traced it and guess where it went? It went all the way down to the other TSA checkpoint. They're not connected. The trays aren't connected or nothing. And the TSA agent, I walked right up to a TSA agent, almost right on top of them. And they pull the phone out and say, did you lose the phone? You left it in the tray. And I'm like, yeah, I know I left it in the tray up yonder. And I told him that. And he said, well, you glad you got it right? I said, yeah. Yeah, I am. And the cops kept asking me, did you go through this checkpoint? I said, no, I went through that checkpoint, which is 300 foot away, probably. But I started to leave this that morning. And she told me, regret it. I just wanted to thank the Lord for putting her on her heart to say something like that. How did she know what I would regret it for? Because I could not have traced it, nor could I have seen that it walked off. And the phone, it would have been gone. So I appreciate the Lord helping us, because we need help all the time. And ever how he wants to help me, I'll take it. You know? So, but Brother Don had some good blessings there, so Sister Rhonda can tell you all about that afterwards. If I try to tell it, I'll probably get it wrong. So we started Sunday, and I want to just go back over just briefly what we talked about Sunday. We overcome by Him and Him only. There's no other way to overcome. And what are we overcoming? Brother Branham said, you have to recognize Satan at all of his tricks. So the only way we can recognize Satan at all of his tricks is by him. And realize that him in us is greater than Satan. And so, and then we, after we talked about that, we talked about how when you overcome, what God said he would do to the overcomer. I'll do this. To he that overcometh, I'll do this. And we didn't get all of those, so I'm going to read back down. Brother Branham goes down through the church ages showing what he's talking about, giving the overcomer. And he also told us that he is the overcomer in us. So then we talked about how Brother Branham was challenged on the veil. I mean, he was challenged on showing a type of the bride not going through judgment, not going through tribulation, but the church does. He was challenged on where did he get that? If he's going to type things in the Bible, then he should have a type for that. And we went through where he went with that. He went back to where the veil was rent. And he said, when the veil was rent, now you think about what just happened there. This is the type that he's drawing. This is to show that the bride don't go through the tribulation. That the church does, but not the bride. And this is where he went to get his type. Was there the moment Jesus died. That's when that veil rent. From the top to the bottom, Brother Branham said. And when that happened, those that come out from the grave. He talked about those that came out from the grave. The Israel, he said, elected Israel. Not all of Israel. He said the rest of Israel comes up at the general resurrection. But elected Israel come up right then. Come up right then. Look at that type. And then we talked about how that when that happened, Brother Branham said he talked about Jesus being new creation. And then he pointed down to the end when there's another creation. And so we want to talk. Let's talk about that a little bit tonight. Let's pick up And it is the, oh, no, that's not where I wanted to go. I found a quote that I wanted to read first. This is from, and it's not in the quotes, I just found it back there a while ago. In Harvest Time, paragraph 321, Brother Ram says, "The Jews killed Jesus thinking they were doing the right thing because their church doctrine said he was wrong." Said for them, they crucified the very bread that they were supposed to live by. And you think about today, what he said they're doing today, the second crucifixion, they're crucifying, they said everything they could say about Brother Branham was bringing that word. They crucified the very bread that they were supposed to live by. "Now then, as many as received him," as many who didn't crucify him, but they received him, "to be their life." They received him, the bread of life, to be their life, eternal life. They lived by him. Well, these others died by rejecting him. They lived by accepting him. And he gave them power to become part of him, sons of God. Is that right? They, like the wild gourds, death in the pottage from the school of their theologians. They don't want Jesus, the bread of life. They don't want him. Now think about what Brother Brown said happens in Laodicea in the last days. They put him out. They don't want him. No other church age did that happen in, but this one. This one it happens in. This is when the church dies, but the bride is called up. And he's talking about that. He's not talking about it there, back there for no reason. He's bringing it to now. "You think you're going to change it, Brother Branham?" "No, sir. I'm speaking to the elected." "No, I'm not going to change the church. I'm speaking to the elected." They put him out. Why did he bring it all of a sudden to the day when he was talking about them? They put him out. Why? They took their pottage, mixed with the world, some theories of something, and mixed it together and made a theological seminary pottage. And they refused the prophet Elijah's meal to cure it. Did they do it in that day? Elijah had some meal. That meal was Christ. Elijah had some meal, and that meal was Christ. The meal offering, all ground the same. Every burr had to be the same to grind it. And he throwed that in there, and it cured the sickness or the death in the pot. All right. So it took Christ to cure the sickness, the death in the pot. Amen. And remember when this takes place, when they're put out, when the seed gets life, all these things that took place in this last church age. But now we're going to start here. Now this is where you have the quotes. It is the rising of the sun, paragraph 240. Now notice this quickening power, Zoe, bringing the word, the mind that was in Christ was in you then. I'm trying to show you that when God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised up you also. He also quickened to life, and also quickened to life with him. You are now quickened to life. Although then you were but an attribute in his thoughts. But God had saw all in him. He saw all in him. Michael brought something to my attention the other day that I'd not even thought about. Brother Branham, you know how the firstborn in the Bible, all the inheritance goes to the firstborn. If the firstborn wants to give out anything, that's all right. But it all goes to the firstborn, period. But God... And who was the first one to come to maturity? Jesus was the first one. He's the first one that could go take the book. But God had saw all in him at the finish, see? When God looked down upon the body, the spirit left him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had to die a man. Remember, friends, he didn't have to do that. That was God. God anointed that flesh, which was human flesh. If he'd have went up there as God, he'd have never died that kind of a death. Can't kill God, but he didn't have to do it. He wasn't forced to do it. It was his choice. But remember, he went there with you in him. You were still in him. What did Brother Branham say? The only son who came the right way was Jesus Christ. He came thought, word, manifestation. He went there with you in him. When he come here, you was in him then. See, God had never separated the bride from the groom yet. Back when Adam was in the garden, he had not separated the bride from the groom yet. It's going to take the fall to separate the bride from the groom, remember? When he was there on the cross and he died, he was already dead. When he went in, they stuck the spear in his side and the blood flowed out. He went there with you and him, see? God had never separated the bride from the groom yet. So when God looked down upon the body of Christ, he saw both male and female. He saw them still together. So when he looked down upon the body of Christ, he saw both male and female. It was all redeemed in that one body. See? They are one. Same word. The same word spoke of the groom speaks of the bride. The same word. Now that's a whole lot in that paragraph. So I hope y'all go back and study on these things. Pray about it and study. Because I can't reveal it to you. No man's going to reveal it to you. And the Lord is the one who does it. Now the first message to the angel of Ephesus. Now here, I'm going to go back. And we're going to go back in how can I overcome. And Brother Branham takes these about... it's about five or six paragraphs, and he goes down through the church ages and shows what God's going to give the overcomer each time. Revelation 2nd chapter 7th verse, this is to that church age when he told them all that they'd done left their first love. So this is the first church age, 7th verse. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him, the person, not the church, to him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. See, the overcomers in Ephesus. There's another quote where Brother Branham said that Jesus breathed on them and said, receive ye eternal life. The same thing he told Adam. The overcomers in Ephesus. Now, the next was Smyrna. Now, to overcomers in that. See, there's overcomers in every church age. And who is the overcomer? Christ is the overcomer. So in every church age, Christ walking in the middle of the candle, in the midst of the candlesticks, he's overcoming. Who Brother Branham said, raised the standard? When Satan comes in like a flood, who raises the standard? God always raises the standard. The next, and y'all know what you're talking about when I say standard, a flag. This flag in the army, when you're fighting, they hold that flag up so that you can look to that and know that your army's still standing. And when things get hard and rough, they try to make that flag stay up. It's like morale. The next was Smyrna. Now, to overcomers in that, we listen to this. Now, the 11th verse. To he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. See, they overcome it. They won't be hurt by that second death. Now look to Pergamos. We find out what the overcomer had left for him in this. We'll read the 17th verse in the Pergamos church. He that had the ear, that's the individual, not the whole group, the individual. That's bride coming out, you see, the church, the elected. See, that's the elected during the church ages. Let him that has an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receives it. The only one's going to know the name is the ones who receive it. That's the overcomer of the church age. Now, the next is Thyatira. I don't know if I said that right, but y'all know what y'all are reading it. Let's find out what the overcomer had in that day. Let's take the 26th verse. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give the power over the nations. That is right. And shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as a vessel of potter, of a potter, shall they be broken into shivers, even as I received of my Father. See, with him in his throne, Christ is to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And here is the church that overcomes, sitting in there with him to break the nations with a rod of iron. Now let's take them to the Sardis church age. Now the 5th verse. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and the holy angels. That's to the overcomer in Sardis. Now let's take the 12th verse. This is the church of Philadelphia. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him my name of my God, and then the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God. And I will write upon him my new name. So all these that are coming out down through the church ages, they're all partaking of that tree of life. We're all being allowed to sit down in the throne in part, not in whole, in part. None of these ages does it speak of new creation till the last one. It speaks of new creation with Jesus, and we're going to read that in a few minutes. And then it speaks with new creation in that last age. Well, I'll read it to you in just a few minutes. Isn't that something that it's talking about sitting down in the throne, partaking of the tree, and then there's new creation? And he talks about that new creation has nothing to do with the old creation. It's completely distinct from it. Which cometh down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name. Watch, the overcomer is promised, see? Now Laodicea. That's the last church age. There's going to be some overcomers in there. Watch here. They remember each church age. They remember each church age. The one preceding it inherits all that the others ones offered. Watch up here. Now, here it's after they done received all these powers, these new names and everything written that he promised, and eat the hidden manna and all down through. Watch this last church age. See what he gave all those other overcomers, and realize that every overcomer after that receives all that and more. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Amen. Even as I also overcame, come and sit down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. All right. So I just wanted to bring that fresh, and then we're going to just drop into this. This is in the masterpiece, paragraph 101. But let us not forget that in the beginning, when he smote the side of Adam, now we just talked about Christ, the veil being rent. We just talked about that happened as soon as Jesus died, the veil was rent. As soon as the price was paid. Now look at what he's going to say about the smote, what happened in the beginning. He smote the side of Adam. He took something from his side. Now we read that quote that he hadn't took us out yet. And he's comparing it to Adam. Now the smiting of Christ was for a cause that he might take from him one to be a family, the bride. He might take him a bride. So when his masterpiece was perfected, then he had to smite it to take from him. He had to have a masterpiece first. There's no creation like the new creation without the masterpiece first. So when the masterpiece was perfected, then he had to smite it to take from him. Not another piece. Not another creation. See, Jesus was the new creation. But when he took us out, it wasn't a new creation. We were just part of that new creation. Now listen, I'm sorry if I confused you. I didn't mean to. To take from him, not another piece, not another creation, but of the same creation. And he was of the new creation. Remember Jesus? We'll read that in just a little bit. My brother, don't think bad at this, but think a minute. If he took from him the original creation to make the bride for him, he never made another creation. He took a part of the original creation. Not a part of that creation in the garden. That's not what this is a part of. This is the new creation. Does that make sense? Because he's the original creation. He's the only son who came from the thought to the word to manifestation. He's the only one called the masterpiece. To make the bride for him. He never made another creation. He took a part of the original creation. Then if he was the word, what must the bride be? He's going to make us from the word now. He's got to be the original word, living God in the word. It's got to be the original word, the living God in the word. Now, did he mess up in the garden? He didn't mess up in the garden. What did Brother Branham say the Bible is? The complete revelation of Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what was happening the whole time. He was revealing Jesus Christ. Amen. Of which we're a part of. Amen. When Jesus was upon the earth, this is in the Church Ages book, he said, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? And the words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works." Look at that masterpiece. What did we say the overcomer was? God's the overcomer. Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Here it is, most evidently set forth, that the perfect manifestation of God in the Son, the perfect manifestation of God in the Son, was by the indwelling Spirit manifesting in word and works. That is exactly what we've been teaching all along. When the bride will get back to being a word bride, she will produce the very works that Jesus produced. And how is she going to be a word bride? He has to take her from Jesus.
and manifest her. When the bride will get back to being word bride, she'll produce the very works that Jesus produced. How is the works going to be produced? How did everybody overcome in every church age? By Jesus, by his life, the veil was rent and the seals started opening all down through the ages. The seals on what? The seals on the book of life, the Lamb's life. Not on the book of life. Brother Bram called that the stalk book. The Word is God. The Spirit is God. They are all one. One cannot work apart from the other. If one truly has the Spirit of God, he will have the Word of God. That is how it was with the prophets. They had the indwelling Spirit of God, and the Word came to them. They had the indwelling Spirit of God, and the Word came to them. Remember what he said in Amos? Is Amos 3? Said, the Word comes to the prophet. Always comes to the prophet. And he said that because, he'll say it here in just a minute. Well, he just said it. That is how it was with the prophets. They had the indwelling of God, and the Word came to them. That is how it was with Jesus. In him was the Spirit without measure, and the Word came to him. He said, it's not me that doeth the works, but the Father that dwelleth in me. See, because the Spirit was in him, the thing that he needed to do, the works, the Word came to him. And he knew what to do. He knew that one laying down there by the pool was the one that God told him to go down there and tell him that God had healed him. That's how he knew it. Because the indwelling Spirit in him and the Word came to him. That's how it happened with all the prophets. And Brother Branham says it's how it happens with us. In him was the Spirit without measure, and the Word came to him. Jesus both began to do and teach. My doctrine is not my own. Remember what we read earlier? It's God's mind. My doctrine is not my own, but the Father's that sent me. And then he quotes some scriptures where he's getting those statements. You should go read those. It's amazing how it's laying there so simply. Remember now, John the Baptist was both the prophet and the messenger of the day. He was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. And when he was baptizing in Jordan, the Word of God, Jesus, came to him. Think about it. The Word always comes to the truly Spirit-filled. That is the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost. The Word comes to you. The Word comes to you and manifests itself. The Word comes to you and you are an overcomer. That is what Jesus said would be the evidence. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he will send you another Comforter that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. See? To as many as would receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The world can't receive him. Whom the world cannot receive. We know what truth is. Thy word is truth. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Did you notice that Jesus said that the world could not receive the Holy Ghost? Talk about predestination. Well, in this verse I just read, neither could they receive the word. They can't receive the Holy Ghost, so they can't receive the word. Why? Because the Spirit and the Word are one. And if you have the Spirit, Holy Spirit, as the prophets, the Word would come to you. You would receive it. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Here again, we find the word coming because of the Spirit of God. How we ought to thank him for that. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, the word, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Thy word is truth. And he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, word of God, that shall he speak, word. And he will show you things to come, Spirit bringing the word of prophecy. I want you to note very carefully that Jesus did not say that the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost was speaking in tongues, interpreting, prophesying, or shouting and dancing. He never said that. He said the evidence would be that you would be in the truth. That's the evidence. How thankful we ought to be that we're in the truth. Like we said, we read Sunday how that this world is in such a bad shape. Brother Bram said it's the worst temptation, the worst of the devil, the worst everything is in this age. And yet in this age, he has overcomers. He said the evidence would be that you would be in the truth. You would be in the Word of God for your age. Evidence has to do with receiving that word. All right. In Pergamos church age, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. See what he's saying? I'm pretty sure that's Paul saying, if he says he's spiritual, then the things I'm saying, he should be receiving them. Because if he has the right spirit, this is the right word. He'll receive it. Now, see that? The proof of the indwelling spirit has to acknowledge and follow. Not just acknowledge, because there's a whole lot of that. Brother Branham called them sympathizers. Acknowledge and follow what God's prophet gave for his age as he set the church in order. Paul had to say to those who claimed another revelation, verse 36, what came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? The evidence of a spirit-filled Christian believer is not to produce the truth. You see that? We don't produce the truth. If that's not a feminine type, I've never seen one. We are the feminine. We have his spirit. We have his life. And his word comes to us. He produces it. Just like Jesus said, it's not me that doeth the works, but the Father doeth the works. In every age, the overcomer is the one that overcome. See where our confidence should be all completely in him. That's the hour that we're living, you know. Marriage and divorce didn't come in this age just so men can go get a bunch of wives. It come in this age to let you see spiritually where you should be. Each one of us should be spiritually. I'm not preaching against marriage and divorce, but I'm trying to tell you what you should see spiritually. The evidence of a spirit-filled Christian believer is not to produce the word. Now you think about that. Brother Bram said, if you want to know the condition of a church, look at the sisters in the church. And you look at the world today. You look at how it looks and the things that are going on. What would it be if you were the spiritual equivalent of that, how horrible it would be. How horrible it would be in God's sight. The evidence of a spirit-filled Christian believer is not to produce the truth, but to receive the truth and to believe and obey it. Amen? Receive it, obey it, believe it. And a greater than Solomon is here. Paragraph 19. And now we find that the Antichrist in the last day will deceive all that dwells upon the earth, whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So there's going to be some dwelling on the earth whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and they won't be deceived, but the rest will. Whose names are not. Now remember what he said about the elected. Brother Bram said that the bride don't go through the tribulation. And the bride gets called out of Laodicea, who turns him down. Those names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. When was your name put on the Lamb's Book of Life? From the foundation of the world. Your name was put in God's book before the Lamb was slain. Whose book is it? It's the Lamb's Book of Life. And what is the revelation of the whole entire Bible? The Lamb, Jesus Christ. Your name was put in God's book before the Lamb was slain. When His program was laid out, the whole thing, you were recognized in that program because you got eternal life. Where did you get it? In that program. You were that thought that God had. Because you got eternal life, the word eternal never did begin and neither can it end. And you're an attribute of God's thinking before the world was ever created. You're an attribute of God's thinking. That's the only way you can have eternal life, because you were an attribute of His thinking. And that life that He was thinking of you, Him thinking of you, is the life that you have in you now. That life that He was thinking of you is in you now. There is no way to separate it. It's in there to stay. How did it get there, that eternal life that's in you? Let's look down in Laodicea. Now, this is where I was talking about this last age and what Brother Brown is pointing out happens in this last age. But now he's standing in the midst of the church as he stands there revealing who he is in this last age. So he's been revealing who he is all down through the ages. And he's in this last age and he's still revealing who he is. As he stands there revealing who he is in this last age, he calls himself the author of the creation of God. This is another creation. This has to do with the church. This is a special designation of himself. Remember what we read earlier? He doesn't make another creation. He takes from Jesus that creation. This is a special designation of himself. He is the creator of that church. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. As the Spirit of God, He came down and created. Now here's the only, he's going to tell how he did it. As the Spirit of God, he came down and created in the Virgin Mary the cells from which his body was born. I want to repeat that. He created the very cells in the womb of Mary for that body. It was not enough for the Holy Spirit to supply simply give life to a human ovum supplied by Mary. Brother Branham, I heard him say today in United Times, the unveiling of God, that proved that that was sex back at the back, back there in the beginning, because he went around sex completely here. It should prove it to people. Life to human ovum supplied by Mary. That would have been sinful mankind producing a body. I hope you're getting the theme tonight. Man's not making anything. He's not producing anything. It's the absolute opposite. That would have been sinful mankind producing a body that would not have produced the last Adam. Of him it was said, "Lo, a body hast thou, Father, prepared for me." God, not Mary, provided that body. Mary was the human incubator, and she carried that holy child and brought him to birth. Now, I want some of these naysayers that are running across the internet trying to put Brother Branham down, come here and show me where somebody else said that. Where they pulled that out of the message. Brother, that's living. God, not Mary, provided that body. Right there in the scripture. Lo, thou hast prepared me a body. You know, the problem is, they got all their own interpretations of, lo, a body hast thou prepared me. Oh, he did that with Eve. Oh, he did it this way. He did it that way. They got their own explanation. Brother Branham said that own explanation, their own idea about things, is what blinds them from the truth. He said it's what keeps them from seeing behind the veil. Lo, a body hast thou, Father, prepared for me. God, not Mary, provided that body. Mary was the human incubator, and she carried that holy child and brought him to birth. He was a God-man. He was the Son of God. He was of the new creation. Man and God met and joined. He was the first of this new race. So had God and man joined before that? Because if they'd already joined before that, then he was not the first. And Brother Branham don't know what he's talking about. Brother Branham said he was going to have preeminence first in Jesus. That Jesus was the one who came to maturity first. He's the firstborn. Don't miss that. He was of the new creation. Man and God met and joined. He was the first of this new race. He is the head of this new race. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Because he could have preeminence in Christ, he can have preeminence in you and I. And that's how he's the overcomer. And he showed it little by little all through those church ages. He showed it in those prophets overcoming in the middle of all the stuff they were against. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. See, you're part of that. The only way you're a new creation is if you're in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's nothing left of that old Chris. No more. It's completely gone. This thing that's walking around is dead. The new one is beaten down in there. And one day he's going to get rid of this one. And all things will be new that we see. But he's talking spiritual here. Behold, all things are become new. There you can see that through man, though man was of the old order of creation, the stock book, man was of the old order of creation. If there was something good about that first creation, then wouldn't he have kept it? If there was something good about that first creation, could it have fallen? And what I mean by good about the first creation is I mean like Jesus, if it was like Jesus, could it have fallen? No. If Adam had already come to maturity, could he have fallen? No. There's no way. There you can see all that, all of that was the unfolding of Jesus Christ. There you can see that though man was of the old order or creation, now in union with Christ, how is he of the new creation? The creation that he was always going to be, the thing that was in God's mind the whole time. How is he going to be that? In union with Christ, he's the new creation. He has become the new creation of God. For we are his workmanship, created in union with Christ Jesus unto good works. And ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new creation is not the old creation made over. You see that? It's a different creation altogether. He didn't make the old creation again. He made another creation in union with Christ. I'm not mad. It seems like I can't get these things over, and they just burn in my heart to say them. And I won't. Do you realize what this means? In this hour, what we are. This is what God has worked for all along, was for this birth and this day. This new creation is not the old creation made over, or it could not be called a new creation. You see that? If it's the old creation made over, it couldn't be called the new one. This is exactly what it says it is, new creation. It is another creation distinct from the old one. No longer is he dealing by the ways of flesh. That was how he dealt with Israel. He chose Abraham of Abraham's issue through the godly Isaac line. But now out of every kindred, tribe, and nation, he has proposed a new creation. He was God created in the form of man. Now by his Spirit, he is creating many sons unto himself. God the Creator creating himself a part of his creation. You remember all those times we used to sing that song, God is fellowshipping with his thoughts made manifest. I think that was the choir used to sing that. God is fellowshipping with his thoughts made manifest. Brother Bram said, God was in man, Jesus, revealing himself to man. That's how he fellowships too. This is the true revelation of God. This was his purpose. This purpose took form through election. That is why he could look right down to the last age when all would be over and see himself still in the midst of the church as author of this new creation. His sovereign power brought it to pass. God interpreted his own word. By his own decree, he elected the members. By his own decree, he elected the members of this new creation. He predestinated them to the adoption of children according to the good pleasure of his will. And by his omniscience and omnipotence, he brought it to pass. Through Christ, he brought it to pass. How else could he know that he would be standing in the midst of the church receiving glory from his brethren if he did not make sure? God made sure this was going to happen. All things he knew, and all things he worked out according to what he knew, in order that his purpose and good pleasure be brought to pass. You think about what a true king he is. What a true judge he is. His judgments are righteous. There's nothing about him that's wrong. If he looked at us, Brother Ram said, if he looked at him and in the end he cast him away, he said he would still love him. You think about it. He's got such confidence. Such confidence in God's judgments. Such confidence in God's word. So that every day he walks along, he believes that God is bringing to pass in his life only that that he can take, that he can handle, that he can go through. Because he believes that God is in him doing it. God is bringing him through it. Is that, what is that saying? If God brings you to it, he can take you through it. I don't know who said that. If he brings you to it, he can bring you through it. It's true. We've seen it happen. I know y'all have seen it happen in your lives so many times. I cannot thank him enough. And I want us to realize just how special this birth is in this hour. Brother Branham said that it was the revelation of Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation. All of that was God revealing himself. And we're a part of that. He said everything that was written about Jesus is wrote about her. Think about it. Do you think he's going to let anything happen to her? And if he lets anything happen, do you not think he can see you straight through it? Think about it. Every single day of this life, we get all worked up and worried about this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And we don't have to worry one little bit about it. We got him to trust. He's worked it out for 6,000 years and brought to pass what he's brought to pass. Through Satan's every best effort, he's turned Satan's every effort against Satan. Think about it. And Brother Branham said he set it all in order back there and sat back and rest. Because he knew everything that was going to take pass. Everything. I tell you, brother and sister, we don't see it serve a weak God. There's nothing weak about him. Amen. And we're part of Jesus Christ. So we don't have anything to worry about. If they destroy this body, it don't matter. Jesus believed that. The word was wrote about him. That if you destroy this body, in 3 days I'll raise it up again. He said that because he knew it was wrote about him. Do we know that this is wrote about us? Do we know that it's ours? It's wrote about us. Every promise in there is wrote to the bride, to his people. Amen. I appreciate y'all. And if y'all thought I was yelling, then I didn't mean to be. I don't usually raise my voice, but sometimes I do, and I'm just trying to get it across. I don't know any way else to get it across. But I'm trusting that he'll do it, that he'll get it across. Lay there in those messages. Like I said Sunday, you take any part of the word, because it's all God. The word is God. You take that. Brother Brown said, if you want deity in your midst, then you welcome the word into your midst. Do you hear what he said down there? You acknowledge it and obey it. Or what's it said? Acknowledge it, and I can't remember the other word he used. But you go back and read it. It's in red there. Let me see if I can find it now that I forgot it. I know, just to think about God thinking about me. Acknowledge and follow what God's prophet gave for this age. And boy, do we have it. Let's stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you know, Lord, how much I love your word. And if I misspoke something tonight, Lord, I trust you forgive me and bring it to my attention. I pray, Father, that the word, though, the word will go straight to the hearts of your children. Lord, let us realize just how truly special the hour is that we're living in. If Satan is at his greatest in this hour, then you've got your standard higher than him. Lord, we should realize the hour that we're living. Because Brother Branham said we must recognize the day in our message. Lord, may you bring those things to pass. May you go home with us. May you keep each one of us, keep Brother Don and the services that are coming up, the people, Lord, each one. Bless them, Lord, and keep them. Pray that you will keep us all, Lord, ever near to you, ever closer every day, Lord. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.